Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
In the 1940s, Doctors Kenneth and Mamie Clark, a husband and wife team who were both psychologists, conducted their most famous experiment. It was called the Dolls Test. And it was to see the influence that race had on kids' perceptions of themselves. Now, the test itself was pretty simple. They presented children aged 3 to 7 with 4 different dolls, all of which were identical except for the color of their skin. Now, the children, who were also of different races, were asked to identify the race of each doll and which one they'd like to play with. The majority of the kids selected the white doll and gave it positive characteristics. But in one particularly memorable moment, when Dr. Kenneth Clark was doing this experiment in rural Arkansas, he asked a black boy which doll was most like him. The boy responded by smiling and pointing to the brown doll. He said, "That's a N-word. I'm a N-word." Dr. Clark described that experience, quote, as disturbing or more disturbing than the children in Massachusetts who would refuse to answer the question, or who would cry and run out of the room. Whether it's in the 1940s or today, issues of race are part of our culture. Consider the recent events of Charlottesville, Virginia. People are protesting, other groups are counter-protesting, people are driving their cars into crowds, all while arguing about race and who's better than whom. But the people in Charlottesville aren't the only ones today who struggle with race. We all do. The long-running Broadway show Avenue Q, which was a parody of Sesame Street, had a song called "Everyone's a Little Bit Racist." And one of the lyrics said, "Everyone's a little bit racist sometimes. Doesn't mean we go around committing hate crimes. Just look around and you will find no one's really colorblind. Maybe it's a fact we all should face. Everyone makes judgments based on race." But she came and knelt before Jesus, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Dogs. It's never a compliment to be called a dog. It's like Jesus said the word for a female dog that some women get called today. Or even worse, it's like he said N-word. Everyone's a little bit racist, but even Jesus? We can admit to our sin of racism, but we say that Jesus was without sin. So why would he say this? Well, there have been 2 common answers to that. The first says that Jesus is completely serious here. He's a Jewish man and she's a Gentile woman. He's simply following the cultural norms that said how they should relate to one another. But there's a problem with that. Jesus didn't play by those rules. Right, he hung out with tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes, for crying out loud. He hung out with those who heard their fair share of racial slurs and insults in life. So why would he treat this woman any differently? Plus, if he were acting out of character, then this woman would have to teach him something about God's love. And that doesn't sound quite right either. The second interpretation says that Jesus was not serious at all. Instead, he was playing into the cultural norms to show how wrong they are. In other words, he was just making a point. Right before this scene, he's talking about how it's not what you eat that defiles you, but rather what you say and what you do. And then he uses this woman to illustrate that. Right? She, who is an outsider, says some very clean words, but Jesus, who is the insider, says some very nasty words. And we can all tell which is really worse. The problem with this, though, is that it seems like Jesus demands a good reason why he should help her, which he's never done before. And besides, how many of us could give him a good reason why he should help us, too? If grace is really grace, then it's not something we deserve. So that interpretation doesn't really work either. So then why did Jesus act this way? And what does it have to do with us and our world, especially after Charlottesville? Well, I think there's two important clues here. First, the beginning of the scene says that Jesus entered the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now to us, that doesn't really mean anything, but this is Gentile territory. This was the land of the foreigner, the outsider. This was the other side of the tracks. This is where, quote, those people lived. And so it's really no surprise that Jesus comes across this woman. Right? He's in her city. He's in her neighborhood. That's great. But what do we do with his comment that he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Either his divine GPS is messed up and he's there by accident, or she is one of the lost sheep and he's there for a reason. I think it's the latter. Because notice a second detail. The disciples tell him, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." They say that she's shouting after us. She was calling out to them, too. She was asking them for help, and they just want Jesus to make her go away. But if you notice, Jesus didn't do that. He didn't do what the disciples wanted. So he entered her hometown and he refused to send her away. It's kind of like Jesus took the disciples to a place where they were the racial minority. And then they wanted him to send away anyone who was part of the majority. Right, these disciples are used to being in power. They're used to being comfortable. They're used to having privilege due to their race. But Jesus brought them into this woman's neighborhood. And he will not send her away. He showed her and them that God's love is for her too. But then, what do we do with that word dog? It's still hanging in the air. We can't believe or deny that Jesus said that. Well, I think that when he said it, he was serious. And he was making a point. It's not fair to take the promises that belong to another and say that they're now only for you. Jesus will not change his course. And those who think he will change it deserve to be insulted. Now notice, though, that Jesus complimented the woman when he realized that she understood this. She wasn't asking for the whole meal to be given to her, just some crumbs. It's like she wanted some of those leftovers from the feeding of the crowd that we heard about 2 weeks ago. Or to put it another way, God's love is for us and for everyone else too. Now, of course, when we hear that, we might just smile and nod and think, of course, that's right. But our words and our actions might say something else. And remember, that's what Jesus said really defiles a person. Not the protocol you keep. In other words, with Jesus, there is no insider or outsider anymore. But that's not to say anything goes. Some words and behaviors, like evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander, all of those are still unacceptable. Things like violence and driving your car into a crowd of people are still wrong. Things like white supremacy are still sinful. But in our broken world, Jesus is still the one who crosses boundaries, both geographic and cultural, and he brings his disciples along with him. He is the one who reminds us that we all are similar. Sometimes that's a tough message to hear, but sometimes it's a message we remind others about too. 2-year-old Sophia from South Carolina knew that. This past April, her mother, Brandy, told Sophia that she could have a new toy for finishing her potty training. And Sophia knew exactly what she wanted. They went to Target, and Sophia went right to the doll aisle. She picked a doll who looked like a doctor, because Sophia likes to be a doctor, too. And when they got to the checkout aisle, the cashier noticed that the doll was black and Sophia was white. She asked Sophia, "Wouldn't you rather have a doll that looks like you?" Sophia responded right away, "She does look like me. She's a doctor, I'm a doctor. She's a pretty girl, I'm a pretty girl. See her pretty hair? See her stethoscope?" The cashier just dropped it and said, "Oh, that's nice." Brandy was beaming for her daughter, though. She shared this story on Facebook, and the post went viral. It was shared more than 140,000 times and received more than 19,000 comments, most of which were very positive. Sometimes we are a little bit racist. But sometimes we see that the other person, regardless of skin color, does look like me, as Sophia said. God's love is for everyone, for the disciples and for this woman, for those who promote racial stereotypes and those who fight against them. For those in Charlottesville who shouted, "Racists, go home," and those who shouted, "White power." God's love includes you and everyone else. Yes, God still says that some behaviors are wrong, but God's love is still for everyone. In the midst of insults and stereotypes and violence, both then and now, that promise will either be horribly shocking or it will be incredibly comforting. Either way, Jesus crosses boundaries and changes our world. And with him, that's always a good thing. So in the name of the one who challenges us and comforts us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.